as we even come into the Thanksgiving season, that that is something that we're able to do, not just now, but on a daily basis. And God, we just do praise you for how you care for us and how you see us through life events. And God, how you protect us and give us that hope that tomorrow you have in your hand. And God, we just thank you. As we study tonight, I pray you just continue to open our hearts and minds. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, turn your Bible to Revelations chapter 3. excuse me. We've been going through the churches in the book of Revelations, and it's very, to me, it's very obvious that the distinction of what was going on then and what was going on in their world and in their life, and how prevalent that it is for us to really put it into our reality. Because I truly believe that Scripture was written many, many years ago, but yet is very usable, and I think very very useful for our reality of every day. And so as we see this church, and again, we're looking at the church of Sardis. Interesting enough, it's a short section of Scripture, 6 verses, that he describes this church. But as a reminder, a little bit about what was going on in their culture and in their world, it's located about 30 miles southeast of Thyatira, and we saw what that church was about last week. And basically their import industries was jewelry, the dye, the textiles, and they were very wealthy because they were right in the crossroads of the east to west trade route. And so they were industrialized. They were a very, very wealthy city. But as with everything else, comes the rest of the stuff when it comes with the wealth and the money and everything else. Spiritually, it's interesting as we read through this and study through this. They were a wealthy city, but they also, from a religious standpoint, had the center of pagan religion of that area. They had the temple of Artemis in there, and so their religion, again, as a city goes, was very pagan. And as with most of these churches, the cities and the area around them were very pagan, but yet the church thrived, or at least survived for a long period of time. And so when we see the church at Sardis, we see in verse 1, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis, these things say he that hath the 7 spirits of God, the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." That's an interesting phrase, because what God is saying in this phrase is basically, you have a reputation of being alive. You have a reputation of being a church, but you're dead. And so think of that phrase for a minute, because in regard to their people around them, the church was still there. They were going to the church, so the church existed, and their reputation was that they are the church, but God said they were dead. So what we find, and I think it's very important when we concept that concept that you are dead, because the condemnation also come with a rebuke. You know, you're alive, you're going to church, you're participating, the building looks nice, but God said you're dead. So that's very clear, I think, of a message to you and I, because he says in verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." So what he's saying here is this concept is their outer appearance was just a facade. They looked like church. But their heart, their motives, the things that God sees and God cares about. Verse 2 says at the very end of that, "I have not found thy works perfect before God." God said, all you are is acting church. You're not a godly church. And I'll tell you, when you think through that and put that to perspective of what is going on now, they were falling short of fulfilling their obligations as believers in Christ. And I talked to an individual today, and it was an interesting conversation, and it was one of those conversations where it's, you know, boy, you know, I hope I do enough kindness and I'll be in heaven. And I said, well, let me tell you, there's probably going to be a lot of really kind-hearted, giving people in hell. And there's probably going to be a lot of mean gossipers in heaven. And he said, what? And I said, because that doesn't get you in or out. How you, once Christian, once saved, how you live your life is only a reflection what God has done inside. Some people don't live that way. Some people don't do it right. That's what was happening at the Church of Sardis. The Church of Sardis, they were there, and he commends them in verse 1, I know thy works, that thou hast a name and that you live. You're living as a church. You're functioning. You're going to church. You're doing the rituals. You're doing what is right. But as far as God's concerned about the heart and living for him, you're dead. You're just not doing what God expects you to do as a church or as a, I'd say, individuals for God. And I'll tell you, it's amazing when you look around and see what is going on today, how I think prevalent that message is today. The church had tremendous paganism all around it, like we do today. And yet they were there, but they weren't. And how many churches do you know or have you seen that have all the right doors and all the right ideas, but they're just it's not there. God is no longer looking at them and saying, I know your works and they're good. He's saying, I see your works and you're dead. You're not doing what I expected or what I've called and asked you to do. So in that interesting part, they were falling short of fulfilling their obligation as believers. But in verse 3, he begins to give them an exhortation. And he says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour I come upon thee. So we have in verse 2 that be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. What God is saying to this church, and I think what I think he's saying to us today as a church, is strengthen the things you have. You know what is right. You know what God has asked. You know what God has said. Strengthen those things. It's almost like wake up from your spiritual slumber. You're sleeping. You're just maintaining. You're cruising through for whatever reasons. Sometimes I think we cruise through because we look at our world and we think, wow, I'm not that bad. And we think we're okay. But all along, there are things in our life that we need to be watching for. Things in our life we need to prioritize and we need to work towards in our life. And with opportunities of conversation. You know, there are a lot of times we have conversations with people and, you know, you can always tie in a conversation something about God, something about Christ. And if you're praying for a divine opportunities to share his son, sometimes God will put you in those conversations and it'll just open up. And they'll ask the right questions or they'll say the right things where you can follow through. And that was the point of the case that the guy I talked to today. And I, well, you know, because it's not about being kind. It's not about being evil that gets you in and out of heaven. Christ sent his son to die on the cross. It's about the blood of the lamb. It's about Christ's blood who paid the penalty for us. When you accept that, then you know you're going to be in heaven. And you need to make sure you make that choice. Well, when I think about it, and when I possibly maybe, and I said, well, you come back to me when you're ready to make that choice. And so the seeds are planted. I mean, I love to plant seeds. And so we need to be those seed planters. That's what we're here for. Somehow this church at Sardis, whether it was the wealth or whether it was the pagan Artemis, pagan religion, whatever it was, it had seeped into their thinking and had seeped into their way of life. And now God says, listen, you're coming to church every Sunday. You're coming to church to a great building, but you're dead inside. You don't have the spiritual fruits. You don't have the things going on that I left you on earth to accomplish. And that's exactly what he's saying to this church. So they were, again, exhorted in verse 3. Remember how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. Wake up. You're sleeping and you're not paying attention. And again, strengthen the things that they know or the things that they understood. And interesting enough, in that verse, he gives them basically the fix. What is the fix for an individual or for a church or for a generation of Christians? What is the fix? And he says in verse 3, first again, hold fast, repent, period. Repent. So what he is saying here is basically remember, obey, repent. Remember where you came from. Remember who I am. Obey what I've asked you to obey. Repent when you don't do it right. That's how we strengthen our relationship with God. There's three ingredients that will allow you to have a stronger relationship with God. And those are the three. Remember, obey, and repent. Those are the three key things in our life. We should be working on those three things in our life every day. Because we don't do it right. We don't live that perfect life. We can't live that perfect life. We saw that Sunday as we went through Galatians. Being led, being walking with the Spirit. We got that nature in us. It's an ugly thing. The boy loves to rear its head. It loves to try to take control. So the fix is there. Remember, obey, thou hast heard. And hold fast, repent. And again, what is the flip side of that? What is the result if you don't? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come on thee. We may be possibly, is that talking about the rapture? Is that talking about a time when God's going to come back? And he's going to come as a thief in the night. Boy, that out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's how the trumpet, that's how God is going to return as a thief in the night. So what is going to determine the timing of the rapture? It's the apostasy of his children. It's the sleeping of his children. Listen, it's not the evilness in this world. I've said it many, many times. The world is going to be evil because God gave them up, Romans chapter 1 and 2. God gave them up to the depravity of their mind. Nothing the world does, nothing we've seen that all that's going on in the world today, nothing that we've seen that is absolutely an atrocity to human life surprised God. He said, I gave them up. What do you expect? Don't expect anything better. But it's the sleeping, it's the not watching. It's the church playing church that's going to determine, I believe, the trumpet sound. And so that's interesting when you see that, because it's everybody looks at the evilness, everybody looks at the wars, everybody looks at the earthquakes, everybody looks at all the things going on around us and the warming and the El Nino and all that stuff that's going on. And man, all these events are happening in the world. The Lord is going to be returning soon. You're looking in the wrong places. The Lord's going to return soon because his church is playing church. They're not being church. That's what sets a difference. And I truly believe it's very clear, as we see in that verse, how he simply said, I will come on thee as a thief in the night, and you will not know the hour in which I come. So it's pretty clear, and we see that, but his God and his love and his faithfulness, he always gives a promise. So verse 4 starts out promise. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There's a remnant. While the church as a whole was dead or dying, while there are many, and you think of the church as a whole today, Christendom today, there are many churches doing it right. There are many Christians within the church that are doing it right, but there are so many out there, other people that aren't. But yet he said, while the church as a whole is dying or dead, he recognizes this godly remnant. And that phrase, godly remnant, has been something that you can study all through scriptures. No matter how rotten or how evil the nation of Israel became against God, there was always a faithful remnant. No matter how much another army would come and annihilate Israel, for their disobedience to God, there was always that faithful remnant. And you know what it says about the faithful remnant? They'll always be there, but it doesn't say that they are protected from the consequences that the nation will suffer. God didn't say, okay, you Israelites, you're all godly. Y'all go over here because I'm going to be whooping on these guys right now. Even the godly get caught up in the consequences of our evil world, just like we do. We get caught up in some of that ungodliness. And not that we do it, but we get caught with the consequences of it. This world's evil. And if the economy goes down because there's evil men running it, your money ain't going to be holding on to. You're going to lose yours too. Things that happen to our world are going to happen to us because we live in this world. The diseases, the hardships, the struggles, all of it. So we're not going to be saved out of those things. God says, I'll walk with you through them, but he doesn't stop us from being a part of them. So it's very important, as we see in this first promise, there are a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. There will always be a remnant of people who are stay faithful no matter what. And I don't know about your goals in life. One of my goals in life is to always be a part of that remnant. I want to be a part of that faithful remnant. No matter what happens, no matter where we go, no matter what goes on, I want to be a part of that faithful. And as we see that God's one of God's promises that will always be there, there'll be those people. And it's interesting that when he says, again, they will be dressed in white is pretty symbolic. If you go down through the scriptures, we'll see in verse 18, it also says in Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou may be rich, and the white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. You see the progression. I mean, in Sardis, it's almost as this is when the church is going to go. And in Laodicea, you got the garments, you got the life being tested by fire. And so as we see through these churches, we're also going to see, I think, a progression of what God is doing, what God is going to, how he's going to continue to do until basically it is completed, his plan is done. Nobody knows what he has next in store. We know the new heaven and new earth. We know that we'll be reigning with him forever. But where he goes from there, nobody really knows. A lot of people like to try to add to some of that and try to put some understanding to that. But really, we can only go to a certain point. So in Sardis, the first promise we find is that they're always going to be a faithful remnant. And that remnant, that faithful remnant, to be that faithful, basically will walk with him in white, for they are worthy. In verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Sometimes when you read that statement, it's almost as if, well, if he says that if you do this, your name won't be blotted out. Some read into that and saying, well, that must mean you can blot the name out. But we know many scriptures that is not true. We are truly born again. We will always be with Christ. John says in John 5:24 and chapter 6 and chapter 10, all of that we are in Christ. No man's going to move us out of there. Our regenerated life is secured by the Spirit of God. So we're not going to lose that. But I think what he's saying here is we see in this verse that I will not blot your name out if you overcome. What is he asking them to overcome? Overcome the evil, overcome the sin, overcome by accepting Christ in his life, into their life. Because I don't know, and again, if you read through this and study through this, one of the things that I was thinking through would basically have those who play church, those who come and they sit among us and they play the parts of church, and they look the parts of church. Many great, kind people are going to be in hell. There are going to be many people who know God, but God doesn't know them. And I really think this is the group of people he's overcome. You gotta accept. You gotta know. if you do overcome, if you do to me accept Christ, then your name will be there. Your name will never be blotted out. And so I think it's a foreshadowing of something that we will see possibly in our lifetime. You know, he's coming as a thief. A thief never sends you a text and says, I'm on my way. It just doesn't do it. A thief comes when you least expect it. Because why? We're not watching for it. We're not looking for it. We're not praying. We're not ready. Because we're too involved with the city. We're too involved with the other stuff. And I think that's where he's coming to in this concept. So it concludes in this letter, in verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath said unto the churches. And when you see that, this have an ear, the letter to Sardis basically is a very, to me, a very searching message. It's very, very heart-provoking. Because I really think what he's writing to the church of Sardis is the same thing that he would write to the churches today in America. I think it's the same message he would give. He would write that same message today. We're full of activities. Man, we got programs for everything. We've got programs for activities, for holidays. We've got programs and jungle gyms, and we've got stuff. We've got a lot of stuff going on. But in the midst of all that activity, and the churches today are half a million dollars, $1 billion buildings being built for churches. They look nice. They're elaborate. And they have air conditioning. People won't come if you don't have air conditioning. People won't come if you don't have heat. People won't come if things aren't right. Well, Church of Sardis was warned about those things. And I really think the same thing happens in our activity and the beautiful buildings. But so often some of those buildings are really lacking evidence of a Christ-lived life. We've got all the right parts. We've got all the right dress. We've got all the right ideas. We've got all the right activities. We've got all the right stuff, but we're alive, but we're dead. And there are many churches like that today, sad to say. And there are many Christians like that. Even in among the good churches, you still have individuals like that today. I think it's important because the same message I think Christ would give to us as he gave to them. In verse 3, what is the fix? Remember, obey, and repent. Those are the three things that I challenge me, challenge all of us tonight. Those are the three things that we need to really do every day of our life. Remember who God is. I saw a thing today. It was pretty interesting. In fact, Kim and I were watching news out of Jerusalem, and they had at the very end of it, there's two words. I'm probably going to mess this up. Think and thank. Think about what God has done and thank him for what he's done. One letter difference. Think and thank. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. I told him I was going to use that someday. Well, I decided to use it tonight. Anyway, we need to realize that remember, think about all the things that God has done for us, let alone send his son. That's enough. But the blessings he gives every day, think on those things. Remember those things. Obey what God has already given you to obey. See, I've met some people that they're sitting back waiting for this. I'm just not sure what God wants me to do yet. I'm just not sure what God wants me. I'm not quite ready for it. They're waiting for this knock on the door. They're waiting for this special note that says, this is what you are to do. And God's not going to give you that note. God has already given you enough. And if we obey and are faithful for what we already know, guess what? We're going to know more. We're going to do more. God's not going to give us more to do for him if we're not faithful with what he already has given us to do. Remember, obey, and sometimes we got to come to a point where we just need to repent and get back into the game, get back into the realms of what God would have. So I think it's very important. I think this church at Sardis is a good example of that, and we do need to overcome, and we do need to allow God, I think, to really work in our hearts and lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. And Lord, as we do that, I pray we continue to just really ponder. And Lord, at any given time in our lives, we could be that one individual that just isn't really doing what you have given us to do. We're not fulfilling the obligations. And I think that's a good word for it. Lord, we should feel obligated because of all that you've done for us and all how much you've cared for us. And God, I just pray that when that moment comes and we realize that we're not doing the obligations that we should be doing, that God, well, we will repent. We'll remember. We'll obey. We'll repent. We'll come back to you. And God, I just pray that you'll continue to allow each of us here in this ministry to be part of that faithful remnant. That even though our world is going directions and even though all the paganism is going everywhere, that God, we will continue to stay true to your word and true to you. And God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.